Hi, this is Allison Sheridan of the NoCillaCast podcast, hosted at podfeet.com, a technology geek podcast with an ever so slight Macintosh bias. Today is Sunday, August 14th, 2016, and this is show number 588. Well, from time to time, I ask for help on the podcast, like 2 weeks ago when I knew my grandson was about to be born. That's when Pat, George, Denise, and Alistair stepped up to the plate to make sure you still got a show. Well, this week, Steve and I went down to San Diego to spend the week with Lindsay and Nolan and the new baby, Forbes. Nolan was going back to work, and Lindsay really wanted us there to help her get things done. Maybe it wasn't always the cuddling. There was lots of cuddling, though. But also, you know, the little things like cleaning up the dishes, going out for bagels, getting the dogs out of the house so she could nap, or cutting the plants back from the front walkway. We felt pretty useful. Now, I didn't ask for help this week because I figured we'd have enough downtime that I'd be able to squeak in some time to do some writing. But George and Denise, very early, both sent in reviews again this week without me even asking. Now, that act gave me the gift of spending more time with my grandson. I didn't have to stress about when I'd get some writing done. I could simply lay on the couch and stare into his eyes or walk him around the backyard, introducing him to the plants. They both gave me the gift of time. I feel so grateful that we have a community that in our own very geeky way pulls together to make a great show for everyone. Well, I did manage to squeeze in a chit-chat across the pond this week. I knew it would be tricky to schedule, so I asked good friend of the show and good friend of ours, Chris Ashley from the SMR podcast, if he would be on the show and be super flexible on timing. He came through like the champ that he is. I knew he'd be there for us. We talked a little bit about the new hotness in the Windows 10 Anniversary Edition, integration of Android with Windows, the Ring Video Doorbell, spoiler, he loves it, and whether he should get his baby girl an iPod Touch or an iPad Mini for her 7th birthday. As always, Chris was absolutely delightful. I hope you'll go check out Chit Chat Across the Pond in your podcatcher of choice. Well, this week, Don McAllister published my video screencast on Photomagico from Boinks on Screencast Online. Photomagico is a spectacular slideshow application. Steve has been using it for years, and I've kind of looked over his shoulder, jealous that he knew a tool I didn't know. There is no better way to learn a tool than to have to teach it. And Photomagico, I am in love with this application. It was so much fun to do. I hope you go check out the free trial of Screencast Online at screencastonline.com. And of course, there will be a link in the show notes. If you do already have a subscription, or even if you don't, you can also get the Screencast Online monthly magazine in the iOS App Store for iPad. In that, you'll get my video along with Don's videos, along with articles from many wonderful Mac tech luminaries. It's a great way to get all of that content in a single issue of the magazine. I do have to warn you, though, you'll probably get hooked if you do it. Since George and Denise got their reviews done before I did, I'll let them go first.
In her July 31st review of the Netgear Nighthawk X8 router, Denise mentioned a couple of problems to be solved, and I'm here to offer some suggestions and experience that might help. Denise has a problem with power bricks that block other outlets, and I say amen to that. The solution that usually works for me is a pigtail. As an electronics consumer, you're more likely to see it advertised as a power strip liberator. I've been using Coleman Cable's 8-inch power strip liberator. They're colorful. There's a tiny light in one end that, until it burns out, tells at a glance if your device is plugged and powered. And they're only 10 bucks for 3 at the Amazon link in the show notes. There's many similar products in real and virtual stores. I first saw the Colemans at Wally World. Denise also mentioned runaway bandwidth that happens unpredictably several times a year. Been there, identified some. Streaming video eats data, and that's the most likely cause. Check your ISP's website. Cox Cable offers a handy tool to see how much bandwidth is used each day. By cross-checking that against what Netflix reports, it was easy to identify how much of our bandwidth was being used. Amazon Prime didn't provide the same logging as Netflix. By persisting, I got a supervisor in Amazon Accounts Management to tell me what was streamed and when. YouTube is very popular. If users are logged in while watching, it may be possible to access their history, but you'd need access to their Google account. Best as I can tell about video streaming, fast forward or chapter skip doesn't necessarily skip forward. You'll end up using the same amount of data as if you watched the entire boring and bloody gore fest. It's easy to zip through 8 hours of illiterate television on Netflix, and the effect on bandwidth seems to be equal to spending 8 hours in front of the boob tube. I have zero personal experience with Facebook, but at the library where I am half the volunteer IT department, Facebook is a huge black hole of bandwidth as patrons watch Facebook videos and play brain-numbing online games. Denise hints at another way her bandwidth is consumed. We also need the ability to manage a lot of Wi-Fi devices. Each of those devices can be streaming from a kid's bedroom, from the throne in the loo, where Steve Jobs said is the only place people would ever use a tablet, or out on the front porch. You won't know it's happening. Most every device and computer in your home gets updates. Have a lot of iOS devices? iOS updates are traditionally huge. They shouldn't eat hundreds of gigabytes unless you have scores of devices, but they could be part of a surge. Same for Macs. If you're syncing a new or refreshed install back to iCloud, well, like Ross Perot, you might actually hear that giant sucking sound as your bandwidth goes down the drain. Microsoft recently pushed Windows 10 to a lot of folks who didn't even want it. Apple TV now erases apps from memory to leave lots of space for users to buy more. When an erased app is accessed through the icon that persists, much or all the app is re-downloaded from Apple servers. Like iOS updates, big Android version upgrades are hundreds of megabytes. Windows 10 had a default called Wi-Fi Sense that was capturing even stupidly complex passwords and sharing them with users' social media contacts. If you have kids, they may have shared your complex password with friends, and friends and friends of friends may be lurking on your network. It's almost impossible to outsmart a smart kid. One story is told by a parent frustrated by a teen supposed to be taking a college class online, but distracted by the internet. The parental cure was to set up MAC addressing at the router to identify what devices could connect, then limiting the kid to the college site during the virtual school day. The little dweeb set up a relay server on the college network and went right back to the game. Last, don't forget bandwidth vampires, devices that are always on, sucking both electricity and bandwidth. Roku, Apple TV, Internet of Things, doorbells, webcams, connected DVD players, internet radios, Amazon's Echo, and those little Amazon Wi-Fi push buttons that order detergent. I've dealt with the Nosferatu in my house with a combination of surge protectors and small switches. If I'm not using a device, that sucker ain't sucking. You'll find an Amazon link in the show notes to a $5 two-prong switch that sits on top of a surge protector. The protector for my media center has four: Roku, Blu-ray player, Apple TV, and computer. Belkin offers a slightly larger switch for the rare electronic device that needs a three-prong grounded plug. Allison and Denise plan to learn together how to use the advanced features of their X8 routers. Clicking through Amazon's affiliate link for Allison for your Amazon purchases will help keep the NoSillaCast on the air so they can share with us what they learn.
After I posted George's text, Denise made a comment back on the blog. It's pretty interesting, so I want to read it to you. She says, "I agree with all your points. In our particular case, we have no kids in the house, and we're not big streamers. We are still subscribing to DirecTV and get most of our entertainment there. I canceled Netflix, and we don't use Prime Video either. We'll occasionally watch some short YouTube videos or lynda.com, and we're not big online gamers, and we're not home most of the time. If I'm guilty of anything, it's an extraordinary love of audio podcasts. Occasionally, when I talk to my ISP, I get someone there that treats me like I'm dumb, and then I have to explain that I have a Master's of Science degree in telecom. That's the tech equivalent of screaming, "Don't you know who I am?" The only benefit of that is that they stop sending me goofy white papers on how usage is calculated. At one point, I became so frustrated with these nasty grams from my ISP on our bandwidth usage after getting flagged while we were out of town and everything was off that I reached out to the executives. They sent a squadron of techs over here that just rolled their eyes and said everything was fine. I suspect management thought we were running the equivalent of a 24/7 LAN party. We kept the log of what we did online for a few months, and everyone agreed that we were not excessively using bandwidth, but no one had any idea what to do other than swap out the modem. As you can imagine, the net effect of that was zero. At one point, one of the senior techs came over and told me straight up that their bandwidth management software does not work, and we had a fascinating conversation. Smart guy. This has gone on for 6 years. And yes, I do see spikes when Apple releases a batch of new OSs, and also when I kicked off my initial Backblaze backup. That nearly gave the ISP a heart attack spread over several months. Anyway, it gets funnier. Apparently, they've given up. Allison and I were chatting earlier today, and she discovered that not only had they dropped the price of my $220-$450 package down $20 per month, but they had also dropped the cap. I'm about to subscribe to Netflix and go to town. Isn't that amazing? So she told me the name of her ISP, and I just happened to go to their website, and I was looking at it, and up popped this big ad saying, "Now, no bandwidth caps." And I sent her the link, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, this is amazing." I love the ending of the story, that it was so happy. Later that day, Denise sent me another message. She said her husband was dancing around the house like they'd won the lottery. All right, enough of that conversation. Now we can hear from Denise with a new review.
Hello, fellow Nosilla castaways. This is Denise Crown with a review of Otherworld Computing's SSD upgrade kit for the Mac Mini. I love my Mac Mini. It's a late 2012 with the i7 chip, a terabyte drive, and 16 gig of RAM. Lately, the spindle drive is showing signs of potential failure, so I thought about buying a new computer. But Apple's due to refresh hardware, and I really didn't want to spend thousands right now. This led me to pop over to MacSales.com, and moments later, I had ordered a 1 terabyte OWC solid-state drive with a toolkit and an enclosure to turn the old drive into an external. Spoiler alert, I just want to say right now, this was the best purchase I've made in a long time. OWC had the kit at my doorstep a few days later. I set up my MacBook Air so I could follow along with OWC's step-by-step video while I worked on the Mini. I had no trouble taking the Mini apart and removing the existing drive. The included toolkit and spudger made it super easy. The most challenging part of the whole process is aligning the new drive into the right position. OWC recommends you use a business card to help guide it into place, and that certainly helped. A couple of things to keep in mind for this project that I'll just call best practices. First, ensure you're shopping for the right computer model. MacSales makes this pretty easy for you, but other stores not so much. Find your model number by clicking on the Apple logo in the upper left-hand corner, About This Mac, look at System Report and Hardware Overview. For there, you'll find a model identifier. Mine is a Mac Mini 6,2. Uninstall the programs that you never use from your computer. This is a good time to tidy up. Back up your hard drive ahead of time. I ran a Time Machine backup right before I started this project. Be mindful of static. I used some soft microfiber cloths to work on. Small food containers are excellent for holding all the screws and parts you'll remove and replace. Stack as you go, and then the computer goes right back together in reverse order. Take your time. This process takes 30 to 45 minutes. I probably spent a good 5 or 10 minutes fiddling around with getting the drive into the right place. Have excellent lighting available. I need reading glasses, so a lot of light always helps me, but it's essential when you have to locate the tiny connectors you need to remove and replace for the power supply and antenna. Don't attempt this without the right tools. and either set up a second computer so you can watch OWC's great video tutorial while you work, or if no second computer is available, you can print out some good directions from iFixit.com. Once I had the Mini back together, I formatted and reinstalled from my Time Machine backup. Would have been a good time for a clean install, but I'd done that not too long ago and decided to forego. The Time Machine backup worked mostly. I did have to go find some product keys for Microsoft Office, and I lost a couple of audio hijack settings from my playdate with Allison that I had to go recover from the original drive. My data restore of 500 gigabytes took about 45 minutes. My old drive lives in the external drive case that OWC includes in this bundle. Installing that was a one-minute job. Let me just say, this is a game changer. My computer is noticeably faster, and I expect to get quite a few more years out of a computer that's already 4 years old. This is one of those delightful purchases that made me wonder why I didn't do it sooner. As an aside, I checked with a couple local computer shops, and they charge between $80 and $100 to do this project for you. I found it quite easy to do myself just following OWC's video, but that's always an option if you don't want to get in there and dig around. If you have an older Mac Mini, this is a fantastic upgrade. I highly recommend this kit from OWC, and I'm always happy with the service I get from them. Ciao!
Well, thanks for that, Denise. I got to tell you, there is nothing better than an SSD upgrade to a Mac. And it's probably true of PCs, too. So if you can afford it, take an old Mac, throw an SSD in it, and you'll be really, really happy. Appreciate another review, Denise. Again, thank you for the time from you and George. Well, I've mentioned a few times over the years that if there's something new you wish I'd do on the show or something you wish I'd do differently, you should go ahead and ask. I may not change things the way you want me to, and I may not do what you ask, but if it's easy or if I think it's cool enough, I'll do it. There's zero harm in asking me. This week on the blog, Autoretti, not sure how to pronounce that, who I believe is from Malta, asked why my site has no language translation. The post was short enough that it might have been spam. Sometimes when they're real short, that's what it is. But his or her web link pointed to a Maltese language school, and it got me thinking. You may not know this, but if you ever come across a website in a language you don't understand, if you open the site up in Chrome, it will automatically detect that it's not your language and offer to translate the site live. I could have just told Autoretti to just use Chrome, but I wondered, how hard would it be to implement a language translation inside podfeed.com? One of the great things about having a blog on the WordPress platform is that there are plugins for everything. I went over to wordpress.org/plugins and I did a search for language translation. When picking a plugin, you're looking for a few very important things. You want to see a lot of downloads and a reasonably high number of stars, and that it's in active development, which you can tell by how recently it's been updated. On some occasions, you might only meet two of those three criteria, but you really have to be sure you needed it and it was the only way to get the job done if you're going to choose one that only meets two out of the three. I found a plugin with 100,000 downloads, with very recent updates, and 4.5 stars. This sounded great. Installation of plugins in WordPress is wonderfully easy. I simply installed from within WordPress, and in the settings panel, I was able to choose the languages for which I wanted translation. This was a little bit of a pain to click each and every little language, but once I'd chosen a whole bunch of them and hit save, all podfeet.com web pages had a bright orange button in the bottom right that said translate. Tapping on that rewarded you with a tiny little flag for every language I'd chosen. It was a bit hard to see, but the flags looked really pretty. I decided to write this up as a blog post, but when I followed the link from the plugin in my WordPress installation, I received a database connection error. I figured the author was just having a problem on their website. I've had that problem myself before. I popped back over to WordPress.org and I searched for it again, and it was gone. Now this was getting weird. I got that queasy feeling I was hoping to avoid by choosing a plugin with a ton of downloads and lots of positive ratings and recent updates. I gave a shout out to Bart and he came to the same conclusion I did. Uninstall it right away until I could figure out what was happening. I uninstalled. I had the guy's name, so I searched for him on Twitter. He wasn't there. I searched for his company's name. Not there. I searched Facebook, LinkedIn, and Google+, all without finding him or his company. I gave it a week, and the site is still giving the database error, so something definitely went belly up. The good news is that there's always another plugin. I found Google Website Translator by Prisna.net. That's Prisna.net. Again, it was a simple matter of pushing the install button in WordPress, and I was in business. This particular plugin worked a little bit differently. It allowed me to put what's called a widget into the right-hand sidebar, where you can simply choose your language from a list. I could choose each language to show one by one, or I could have the full list, which is what I really wanted. I didn't want to go check every box, just let you guys pick. The list that you see is not as fun as the little flags, but then again, it's quite a bit easier to find your own language. There are some advanced features to this tool where I could add the flags, but I think I'll stick to the plain pull-down with text for now. While this might not be something you personally need or care about on podfeet.com, the point of the story is that if there's something you'd like to see on the site or something you'd like me to talk about, please go ahead and ask. Like I said, I don't guarantee by any means that I'll do it, but why not ask? Might be easy, it might be fun, and I might just do it. Steve and I travel around a bit, and we always bring our Apple TV with us in the hopes that maybe this time we'll actually be able to use it in the hotel. It's a strange thing, but the nicer the hotel, the more annoying they are about letting you do the things you want to do. For example, cheap hotels often have free Wi-Fi, while expensive hotels charge for it. We've carried that darn Apple TV to a bunch of really nice hotels, and every single time, they have foiled our efforts. Sometimes they give us TVs that have no HDMI ports. Sometimes they have HDMI ports, but the remote doesn't have the option to change inputs. Sometimes you can change to the HDMI input, but they've electronically locked it out. This week, we were staying at a Comfort Inn, which is an okay hotel, but definitely not high-end. They have great free Wi-Fi, and the HDMI port was open on the TV. Steve plugged in the Apple TV, used the remote to switch inputs, and was rewarded with the Apple TV interface. Yay! He went into settings, and in the Apple TV, he found the hotel's Wi-Fi signal, and he connected. And then we realized that the hotel Wi-Fi has a web interface where you have to authenticate by putting in the password. While this works fine on our Macs and iPhones, the Apple TV doesn't have a web browser, so we couldn't log in. We were sad. And then I took to the Googles and I did some hunting. I found a whole bunch of forum posts asking this question years and years ago, but their advice was actually still applicable. Most hotels will give you a help desk phone number for their internet service because, you know, the person at the front desk has no idea how to run the internet. If you call that help desk phone number and give them the MAC address of your Apple TV, they can actually authorize it on their end. So on any version of the Apple TV, we were using an Apple TV 3, open settings, network, and at the bottom you'll see Ethernet address, which is the same thing as MAC address. It would be 6 alphanumeric pairs of digits separated by colons. This address is a unique identifier to your device's network card. The Apple TV has two, by the way, one for the Ethernet card and one for Wi-Fi. We were using Wi-Fi at the time. I put a screenshot in the show notes showing what it looked like to if it was connected via Ethernet, which we weren't at the time, but that's the screenshot I got, so that's what you got. Anyway, I called the service provider for the hotel, told her what I wanted to do, and she said, sure, just give me the MAC address and the IP address. I thought for sure there'd be some kind of flack, you know, oh, you can't do that. This is weird. What are you, some kind of hacker or something? I thought that's what I'd have to muddle through. She even wanted to stay on the phone, though, with me while we waited for the Apple TV to reboot, which is what, like 3 hours? Anyway, she wanted to make sure it was working for us. After the reboot, I was able to launch Netflix and bring up a show. That was awesome. Now, what Steve really wanted was to watch the Olympic coverage. In the U.S., the Olympics are under the iron fist stranglehold of the NBC network. In fact, I'm probably not allowed to have actually just said Olympics. Watching the NBC network broadcast channel, you get a highly curated version. For example, in a 2-minute period, I saw dressage, sailing, surfing, and the women's butterfly in 2 minutes. Steve wanted to use the NBC Sports app on the Apple TV so he could watch full real-time events of his choosing. And guess what you need to use an app like that? You need to go to a website. In this case, nbcsports.com/activate and type in a code they show on the Apple TV. No problem. Steve opens his Mac, goes to the activation site. He can enter the code, but guess what else they want? They make you log into your account at your ISP. In this case, the hotel's ISP, to prove you're paying for cable TV. Of course, we can't do that. Oh, well, I wanted to watch Friends on Netflix anyway. After I posted this on the blog, David Roth saved the day. As you'll see if you read his comment on the blog post, he suggested we try entering our own cable TV provider. We tried this out in the settings on the NBC Sports app, and sure enough, it worked. Well, I was disappointed. I really did want to watch Friends. Well, that's going to wind us up for this week. Do not forget to send in your dumb questions, comments, and suggestions. You can keep sending reviews if you want. I'm loving it. You can do that by emailing me at allison@podfeet.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Podfeet. Check out the NoSilicast Google Plus community at podfeet.com/Google Plus and our Facebook group at podfeet.com/Facebook. If you want to join in the fun of the live show, we've been having fun this week. I've been having some interesting audio confusion. Not a real problems necessarily, but it's been kind of interesting. Anyway, the live chat room's been having a lot of fun with that. You can do that by heading on over to podfeet.com/live on Sunday nights at 5 p.m. Pacific time and join the friendly and enthusiastic NoSilla Castaways. Thanks for listening and stay subscribed.